This morning, I noticed the seating is a little different than usual, and I think it's because it's a warm August day, because there's a shift. If you've noticed, there seem to be more people on the side of the sanctuary with the windows open to the ocean than there is over here. And I've never seen so many people on the front pews closer to the ocean than in the back. But here we are, Matthew. This is a story that is important, I think, to our understanding of Jesus and our faith. It's titled "A Canaanite Woman's Faith." It looks like it's more about her, but I'm not sure about that. So it's on page 17 if you're reading from the Pew Bibles. Jesus left the place where he was, where he was preaching and healing, mainly an area that was familiar to him in the Galilee region. So he left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is a strange, puzzling story, even provoking. Jesus' attitude, his words, his unconcern, and seeming reluctance to help a loud and distraught woman, whom his disciples want to send away, are out of character for the good shepherd of sheep. And yet, this important story points to the kind of situations we face in our lives. Jesus believed he was called by God to work with his people in Israel. But this story from Matthew's gospel reminds us that it takes decision and effort to draw circles big enough to include those on the outside who are in need of help. Each of us is molded by our culture, influenced by friends we identify with, and shaped by fears of the unknown. Many work to keep their circle of concerns small and familiar enough to be safe. I'm tempted to hunker down, find a comfortable group, and resist reaching very far from my comfort zone. I gravitate to people who think like I do and to places I've known for a while. I'm likely to draw a circle around the familiar and find it difficult to include those who are out there waiting to lay claim on my time and attention. From this story in Matthew, we see Jesus lived with the impulse to focus only on his religious group, those who looked like him, worshiped like him, who talked like him, acted like him. And in this story, we see that Jesus, too, struggled with deciding who else outside of my people are worthy of my time and my help. Matthew's story is about an outsider, not an Israelite, but a Canaanite, descendant from the ancient peoples who lived in the land, lived in Palestine when the Hebrews invaded. This woman, a native, who comes to him begging for help for a daughter who is tormented by a demon. In Jesus' day, they spoke of demon possession as sort of a catch-all. They knew nothing about schizophrenia or Alzheimer's. They didn't use the words bipolar disorder. They talked about being driven by evil spirits. They didn't speak of multiple personalities. They thought some people were possessed by a mob. By whatever name we call it, I know something of being torn and warring within, a bundle of desires, conflicted in my own will, pushed and pulled this way and that. Often we find it difficult to prioritize what we ought to do or even want to do, and we don't know what possesses us. There's a part of us that's greedy and a part that's generous. Sometimes we're gregarious, and at other times we want to be alone. Some days our faith is as strong as we could ever hope it to be, and at other times we have no confidence in God and no sense of being loved or sustained. But this story from Matthew paints a portrait of the man, Jesus, dealing with the decision of how big is his circle of concern and mission. Who is worthy of help? And today, those of us who live with his name make the same decision. Does our work, our responsibility, end when we welcome and care for only those who are in our congregation, our denomination, United Methodist Church, only those of our color, our language, our nation of origin? And Nate and I didn't coordinate this morning. He read my mind through the miles. Recently, we've been facing hundreds, thousands of mainly children from Central America coming across our southern borders without papers, and many are refugees from violence. The children have been apprehended, many voluntarily, so that they may be questioned and their needs attended to. The Department of Homeland Security has sought temporary shelter and respite until the situation is clarified and resolved. This surge of children has been a hot potato in communities near where I live, Escondido, Temecula. You've perhaps read about it in the paper. Some places have been hostile to these children. Escondido has sought to keep them out, and an official body said, "We don't have room for them in our community." Officials in other parts of the country have been forced to scrap proposed temporary shelter sites. Connecticut, Iowa, New York. And some opposition has been extreme. A few of the protesters against a proposed shelter in Vassar, Michigan, were armed with semi-automatic weapons, rifles, and handguns. They weren't messing around with these 8 and 9-year-olds. They were serious. Of course, rejection hasn't been universal. In Dallas, Texas County, in Grand Prairie, officials had expressed skepticism about the plan to house hundreds of children at a former school. But their concerns were eased after Clay Jenkins, the county judge, and others went door to door in the school's neighborhood and found that residents were overwhelmingly positive. "I was blown away by their support," said Mr. Jenkins, who is leading the effort to house 2,000 children at 3 sites in Dallas County. "I don't feel like we have to solve the border crisis before a terrified child is shown some compassion." This story of Jesus and the Canaanite woman can be read in 2 ways. First, and most common, the woman is praised for her faith. She calls Jesus Lord. She's praised for her faith, her trust, her boldness, her willing to risk the results in healing her daughter. But a second perspective on this story that came to me as I worked on this sermon is that Jesus is revealed as a human being, growing in his concern and ministry to others. Now, that may be a novel idea, and when we usually say the name Jesus, we think, here is somebody fully developed from God from the time he was born, who knew everything, did everything right. If he did, he wasn't a man. And our faith teaches us he was a man, fully God and fully human. Jesus grew. He started in this story by using the term dogs to address the woman. Common for Hebrews to denigrate outsiders, those not seen to be in the circle of God's love. When this woman knelt before him and said, "Lord, help me," he answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But as we read on, we begin to understand that Jesus is growing in an awareness how strong love can be, stronger than the cultural norms and prohibitions of his day. Jesus is a man who reaches beyond what he grew up hearing. He moves far beyond the traditions of his culture and religion. He experiences grace, that divine love which sweeps away our artificial human boundaries. And Jesus offers that grace to the Canaanite woman and her sick daughter as he offers grace to us. I think the questions of who to include, who is worthy, who is important enough, never get settled. And sometimes as we go along, as we do, we are faced with a situation we've never known before. In my imagination this morning, I see a child from Central America standing before Jesus, seeking help and safety. And I think of that child who's been on a perilous journey for weeks, maybe months, standing before me. And I ask myself, what would Jesus do? Jesus lived and died so love could prevail. He learned and lived his life in a different way. And Jesus' love, living in our hearts, in our caring, is the only thing strong enough to bring hope and healing to a fractured world. Our intense and constant prayer as Jesus' family is that we may grow to be one with the will and action of Jesus. Let us pray. Oh God, life changes. Never seems to get easier, just more complex. We think we've got everything settled, and something comes along and it's not settled anymore. And we've got to make new decisions. And we've got to decide, do I care? How big does my caring go? How much energy and attention do I have? Can I extend the circle of love and grace beyond where I have drawn it to this point? Oh, God, when we're faced with those times, speak to us in our indecision as we seek to be truly one with you and merciful in all that we decide and do. Amen.